Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
So this morning we're going to talk about the paraclete. Within the Assemblies of God, in our faith tradition, the experience of the Holy Spirit, as we see in Acts chapter 2, which Josh read, is probably emphasized more than the relationship aspect of the Holy Spirit. And a lot of it is because we put a lot of emphasis upon what Luke writes and just this initial experience. And if I've noticed a couple things that are weaknesses within just teaching on the Holy Spirit, it's one, the relationship aspect of it, and the other that ties into that is just the idea of that we see the Holy Spirit as a substance. Okay, what are some of the images that we're given in Scripture that illustrate or are metaphors for the Holy Spirit? Dove, okay. Oil. Yep, both of those. When they are gathered together in that upper room, there was a sound of a mighty, rushing, violent wind that shook the place, right? Breath. So spirit is often can be translated in Greek and Hebrew, usually can be translated breath or spirit, okay? All right? It depends on the context. So we're given these images, but we're not giving Jesus, he had a face, right? He became flesh and dwelt among us. He was a person, right? And so that's somebody that we can have a relationship with. But the Spirit, we're given these images, and often our terminology and our songs talk about God, fill us, right? Or Holy Spirit, come down. We have these images that he's kind of this force. The force be with you, right? And I think we can easily miss the aspect of the relational side of the Holy Spirit. Now, Luke talks about the experience, okay? The day of Pentecost, and then he has five occurrences where people are filled with the Holy Spirit as you go through the book of Acts, okay? And different things happen during each of them. Three times they speak in other tongues. Sometimes they prophesy. Sometimes we don't know what happened. It just says that they're filled with the Holy Spirit, okay? Those things happen. John takes a totally different look at the Holy Spirit. Now, John is unique in himself, okay? John, you have the 12 disciples, and then out of the 12, you had the three, okay? Who were what? Peter, James, and John. And out of the three were a little bit closer to Jesus. Sometimes he would just, on the Mount of Transfiguration, he just took the three up there, okay? So they were kind of this inner circle. And then out of the three, which one was the closest of Jesus? John. And so John gives us a unique perspective on the Holy Spirit. And John is the most, when you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, John has the most unique material out of all four Gospels. Okay? There's overlap between Matthew, Luke, and Mark. But with John, you have the most unique material. And I think it comes out of this relationship that he had with Christ on this earth. And so he includes things that the other writers, authors did not include. So I want us to look at John chapter 14. And we see three different pictures of who the Holy Spirit, how he is going to help us, and what he is called to do. So in this chapters 14, 15, and 16, and even in his 17, are kind of towards the end of the ministry of Jesus. And so Jesus is passing on to them very important lessons, things that he wants them to catch, okay? And he knows that his time is soon before he's going to be departing. And he says in verse 15, he says, "If you love me and if you obey what I command, ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor." Now I'm reading the NIV. NIV says counselor. What does your version say?
Advocate.
What else? Helper. What else? Companion. Okay. If you had King James, you'd have comforter. Okay. All right. So we're going to talk more about that word. That Greek word is paraclete. All right? He will be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives in you and will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans, not a mother or father, but I will come to you through the Spirit. Father, we ask the blessing over your word this morning. I pray that you would take it and apply it to our hearts and to our lives. And we give you the thanks, we give you the praise. In your name we ask, amen. Amen. Three things that I want us to look at that John kind of gives us names for the Holy Spirit. The first is that he will be the helper. Okay, you can write that in. He will be the helper. Now that comes from that word paraclete. Now somebody said helper there, but I think the New American Standard, the English ESV has it, English Standard Version has this word helper. And that is a good translation of that word paraclete. So in the school systems, we have people that help out the teachers, and their name is what? Paras. Okay, their role is to help the teacher. In the same way, the Holy Spirit, paraclete, the one called alongside to be our helper, is literally what that means. And so helper is a very good translation of that Greek word. Now, advocate is good. Comforter just kind of makes it sound like he's there to kind of pat your shoulder when things are tough, okay? And I believe that the Spirit of God will do that, but it's more than that. He is the one called alongside to help us do some very important things. Now, what do you think some of those important things are that God has called us to do? What has God called us to do as believers in Christ Jesus? You're thinking, okay? The pinwheel's spinning, okay? Oh, it's to share our faith, right? Did the Holy Spirit help the early church do that? As they were filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter gets up. He's the one that denied Christ three times. He was a leader, but he had chicken in him, right? Right? Bark, 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 right? So he had some chicken in him. Right? Right, Yolanda? He had some chicken in him. And so God gave him boldness, right, to share the faith. Now, I know some of you guys have chicken in you, okay? You're not going to admit it. But we all need that boldness to share our faith. So that is one of the things that God has called us to do, that the Holy Spirit, God says, I'm not expecting you to do this on your own. I am giving you the gift of the Holy Spirit to help you, to equip you. Because God took some ordinary people. These people had not been through Bible college. They had not been through rabbi school. They were fishermen. They were tax collectors. They were people like you and me that God called to share the gospel with. And they shared it with boldness, without fear. And they turned the world upside down. Now, if God can do that through fishermen, what do you think he could do through you and me? As we allow the Holy Spirit, the helper, to flow through us. So, yes, he has called us to be an effective witness. He can help us in that. What else? What else has he called us to do as believers? Has he called us to overcome something? Begins with an S. Three-letter word. Sin. Yes. How many deal with sin? Yeah. You think the Holy Spirit can help us in overcoming sin within our lives? And temptation? I believe he can. What about maximizing our gifts and our talents for God? Go in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we see the gifts of the Spirit. Those do not belong to us. They are gifts that belong to the Spirit that he chooses to manifest through our life to help us to be more effective. You know, the gifts of the Spirit, what a prophecy or a gift of prayer, right? Of healing. You know, we can't heal anybody, right? Victor, you've experienced God's healing and miraculous healing a couple times. You can't heal yourself. But God can through his Holy Spirit, right? It is God's Spirit that flows through us. We have nothing to offer, but as we yield ourselves to God and allow the Holy Spirit, the Helper, to flow through us, he is able to help us. God says he will not leave us as orphans without help or without power, but he's going to provide the help that we need. He's going to come alongside of us to equip us. In Acts 1:8, it says, you will receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We see that carried out in the book of Acts. Now, that word for power is dunamis, and you can kind of follow some of those roots there through the words, but it's where we get, you know, some people say it's where we get our word dynamite, you know, dynamo, you know, blow things up. And I don't think God has called us to blow things up, has he? John says yes. Yeah, he has called us. But that word power there means power to do. Okay? That God is going to give us the power to do what he's called us to do. So it ties in well with what John says, that he is the helper, the one that will help us accomplish what God has called us to do in us and through us. Second, he gives us a second name here, and I didn't read all that. If you go down to verse 26, let's do 25 too. All this I have spoken while still with you, verse 26. But the counselor, the paraclete, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you these things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. He will what? He will teach you all things. So the second one is teacher. Teacher. He is the Spirit of truth that will help and teach us and guide us into God's truth. You know, in our day and age, truth seems to be very subjective, isn't it? It's based upon culture. It's no longer based upon Scripture. It's no longer based upon even moral pillars in our society or in history. It seems to be so subjective based upon what our culture sees as right and wrong. And the Holy Spirit is able to help us as being our teacher, to help us to take the truth of God's Word and apply it to our lives. Now, I know that every time that you guys open up God's Word, boom, you understand it totally and completely, right? Right? Sometimes we have to get out some study notes. And then we did a How to Study Your Bible class. Mary's not here. She's the one that really... some of you took that. How to Study Your Bible. How many took that? I'm trying to think. Linda, did you take that one? How to Study the Bible? Yes, you did. You were one of my good students. Joyce. Joyce was one of the ones. Man, she just kind of put everybody to shame. But in that class, the first thing that we're supposed to do is that you pray that God's Spirit would bring to life what you're reading. Because if we come to God's Word, there's people that know the Scripture, I can guarantee you, much better than you do. But they do not get any spiritual revelation out of it. And they see it more as a book of morals. They maybe study it as a form of literature. But it hasn't come alive to them because the Spirit of God isn't allowed in the process. We need God's Spirit to help us to understand the truth of God's Word. And I believe that the Spirit of God is our teacher that can help us. Now, a good teacher can take a truth and apply it and make so I can understand it. All right? I mean, you can get a truth, and it's kind of like, you know, they state the truth, and it's kind of like, well, great. You know, if I'm doing a good job this morning, hopefully I'm stating that, hey, you need the Holy Spirit, but I'm helping you to apply it to your life in a way that can make sense. That is what the Holy Spirit is, to take truths of God's Word and apply it to our life. In one of the classes that I just got back from Mountain Virginia, the teacher was talking about learning behavior and how we learn. And we did this, answered a few questions, and then put it on a map, and he helped us to understand just our learning style. And at that point, it's kind of like a lot of lights came on for me. Got, you know, you ever done connect the dot, right? And sometimes our life is a little bit like that. There's all these dots, and there's a picture there, but we can't see it until we connect the dots, right? Then it's kind of, why didn't I see that, right? And he helped to connect some dots there. It's kind of like, oh, this dot is connected to this dot. Now it all makes sense of how God has wired me and how I learn and how God's created me. I believe the Holy Spirit can do that in our life as we go to his Word as we seek to allow God to flow through us, and to minister through us, I believe he can teach us and guide and direct us. Amen? There's a third thing, and I don't think this is a word, folks, okay? So I hope I spelled it right, but it's not a word, so. But I made it a word. I can do that, right? I can create a new word, right? All right, it happens every day on the internet. So the last one is convictor, okay? It's not a word, I don't think, but. Nope, the dictionary did not recognize it. So convictor. I want us to go to John chapter 16. So John 14, 15, and 16 contain the most theology that you're going to find about the Holy Spirit in the Scripture. Okay? Luke and Acts record a lot of the experiences, what the Holy Spirit did. But as far as theology goes, John 14, 15, and 16 includes the most theology. If you go to chapter 16, verses 7 through 11, John says, "But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I'm going away." So Jesus is saying this. "Unless I go away, the counselor, the paraclete, okay, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where they will see me no longer. In regards to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned." It is the role of the Holy Spirit to work in our society and in our lives to convict, all right? So that we know what sin is and what righteousness is. Now, have you ever tried to convict somebody? How well did that go? Not very well, right? You shouldn't be doing this, right? It usually doesn't work very well. And maybe because that's not your role. As a parent, you have to teach right and wrong. But when, especially even people that come to know Christ, we take people to Scripture, but it's not your role to convict. Whose role is that? It's God's Spirit, isn't it? And so the object is to get people into prayer, into His Word, because as they're reading God's Word and they're praying, all of a sudden, boop, the light comes on. It's kind of like, whoa! There's sin in my life! Had been there the whole time, right? Right? And that's what sinners will say, right? Sinners will say, you know what, I've been sinning, and all of a sudden, like now, it's kind of like, man, I feel guilty for doing things, right? What's causing that? It's God's Spirit. All of a sudden, the light has come on. It's kind of like, whoa, I didn't see all that. Who turned, you know? When we're in the dark, it's kind of like there can be a lot of stuff there, a lot of creepy things, and all of a sudden you turn on the light, it's kind of, oh, I didn't want to know that that was all there, right? The Holy Spirit is that light. And he convicts. Now, there's a difference between conviction and condemnation. Conviction will do what? Conviction will draw you closer to God and say, "But God, I need you. I need you in my life." That's conviction. Isaiah chapter 6, it's Isaiah's call. He comes into the presence of God, and all of a sudden he sees a sin. He says, "I'm undone. I'm a ruin. I'm a wreck." But God doesn't cast him away. Instead, he draws him closer. He says, "I've sanctified you. I've sanctified you. I've purified you." That's what God does to us, right? When you accept Christ into your heart and your life, he calls you a saint. Now, I know some of you don't always live like a saint, okay? All right? But positionally before him, because you've invited Christ into your heart and life, your sins have been forgiven, you are a saint. And some of you need to embrace that. You're not there yet, but positionally you are righteous in his sight. Not because of your own good, but because of Christ's righteousness that he's given to you. He's imparted that to us. And Isaiah says, "I'm undone," and God imparts his righteousness to him, and he says, "Now I'm calling you to be my prophet, to take my word." We need the Holy Spirit at work in our life. David says this in Psalms 139, verses 23 through 24. He says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." We all have blind spots, right? I pulled out yesterday on the road. Didn't see a car coming. Fortunately, they were still off a little bit, but it was just kind of blocked by the two windows, you know, that you have the solid part there. I looked that way and I didn't see it. It's hiding there. Blind spot. We all have blind spots in our lives. And we need the Holy Spirit to convict us of our sin. And the same is in the world. People, without a move of God's Holy Spirit in our communities and in our world, there really can't be true revival and repentance, because God has to be working in hearts and lives to draw people to Himself. So that requires us to pray and to seek, to preach, to share. But God has to take those words and He has to provide the conviction. If we remember from a couple weeks ago, the message on the Lord's Prayer, I don't know, I hope that one has stuck with you. If you haven't listened to it, go online and listen to it. It's kind of come back to me, and I've been reflecting upon it. And one of the things, I think I'd like to make a bookmarker out of that, because I think, I don't think we should pray the Lord's Prayer per se, nothing wrong with that, but I think if we can pray the principles, that we can use that to guide us of how we should pray on a weekly and on a daily basis, some of the principles that are covered there, that we covered, I think it would really help us. Back a few months ago, we talked about the examen, right, by Ignatius did that. The examen, and we covered that just a little bit, but it means to end the day and examine your life, saying, God, how did my day go? Okay? What did I do right? What did I do wrong? Invite the Holy Spirit to kind of reflect and to bring that out. And then as God reveals stuff by His Holy Spirit, then you say, okay, now what do I need to change in my life? And then you pray about the next day. And the powerful thing about that is that it's recognizing that I need God's forgiveness every day. That's what the Lord's Prayer talked about. God, right? Forgive me my debts on a daily basis. But we look at our life and say, God, you know, this is the way that I followed you today. These are ways that I didn't follow you today. Now, God, help me to change so that I can live tomorrow better. So I'm growing, right? My spirit is growing. I'm maturing in Christ. And the Spirit is able to help me do that. He is able to help you do that. He is your helper. He is your teacher. He is your convictor. And you might not think convictor is a good word. I think in our society, to convict, you know, just doesn't have a real good ring to it, does it? But see, conviction will bring us closer to God. Condemnation will do what? Will push you away from God. If you feel condemned, you don't feel worthy, right? And you're going to pull away from God. So if you feel condemned, that is not of God's Spirit. It is from Satan. And Paul says, in Christ there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But for those that are in Christ, He convicts and He draws us closer to Himself. Let me have the musicians come. We all need the Holy Spirit in our life. The moment we invite Christ in our life, God's Spirit is present, isn't He? He comes in our life. That's how come we feel, we sense our need for God, and we think, oh man, you know, sometimes there's tears. It's kind of like, man, I feel bad that I've failed God. I've sinned against God. That's God's Spirit. And then we sense His love and His presence. That's God's Spirit. In fact, Paul says the Holy Spirit is a seal, it's a guarantee that I know that I'm saved. It's kind of like some days you wonder, am I saved or not saved, right? Sometimes we don't feel the most righteous, if we want to be honest. But see, the Spirit is our sign, our guarantee that I'm saved. Martin Luther used to point to his water baptism certificate on the wall. Because I think there's days that Satan would come to him and say, yeah, you're not saved. Look what you did and look what you did. He's the accuser, Satan is. He's the accuser of the brethren. And we have to go back to our baptism. We have to go back to Scripture and what God has said over us. That Martin Luther would say, you know what? Why did he point to the baptism? Because he says, you know what? On such and such a day, I died to myself. And Christ came into my life. I'm a child of His. And God's Spirit is within me. Amen? God wants to work in our hearts and our lives. And what I've seen growing up in the church, growing up in a Pentecostal church, is that I've seen people experience the Holy Spirit, maybe at camp, so we've got camp coming up, or maybe in a service. But sometimes it's not carried out from that moment, from that time. And if we don't develop that relationship with the Spirit on a day-to-day basis, that He's our helper, He's our teacher, He's our convictor, because I can guarantee you, you can feel clean and pure and get everything all washed away for a day or two, but then it doesn't take long before it all comes back. It's a daily thing. And we have to develop that walk, as Paul says, to walk with the Spirit in our life and to equip us, to teach us, to convict us. Amen? And to fill us with His Holy Spirit. Paul says if we can walk with the Spirit in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, we will not gratify the desires of the flesh, but the desires of God. Amen? Would you stand with me this morning? I'm going to lead us in a prayer if you join me in it. And then I'm going to just have a response time. One, just for salvation. Secondly, just if you say, I just want more of the Spirit of God in my life, more of the fullness of the Spirit of God. Maybe there hasn't been that walk like you would like it to. I'm just going to invite you forward. And I have a few people up here to pray. Help me and pray. Victor and Yolanda, if you'd join me. Christy, if you'd join me over here. Victor and Yolanda, if you'd join me over here. And if you want special prayer, if you just want somebody to pray with you just for to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to encourage you to find them, myself. But if you just want to come forward and say, God, I just want more of Your Spirit in my life. I want to walk in victory. I want to walk in power in my life. I want God's presence to flow through. God is able to do that. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Father, this morning we just come before You. We thank You for Your presence and Your Spirit here. I can see You working in hearts and lives, dear God. And Father, You've given us a great gift of the Holy Spirit. And that had to be kind of a pivotal moment as You were talking to the disciples and just the fear that was gripping their heart as they were coming to grips with the fact that their teacher, their friend, their master was no longer going to be with them. What were they going to do? Who were they? How were they going to know what to do? Who would guide them? Who would teach them? And Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans, but I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, to walk alongside you, to help you, to teach you, to convict the world, to guide us. In fact, if I don't go, He can't come. So I'm going to step out of the way and let the Spirit come and to flow through you and in you. Let's pray together, saying, Dear God, forgive us of our sin. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Be our Lord and our Savior. Lord, we invite the presence of Your Spirit into our hearts this day. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And I'm just going to invite you to come. If you want to come down to the front here, and just if we can just take a few moments just to worship God before we leave here today, and just allow God to work, refresh your heart and your soul. Would you come? And Amy's going to lead us in a chorus this morning. Again, next to Lake Sakakawea, the Missouri River system in North Dakota. But you'll drive past some places there where they do coal mining. And it's not under the ground coal mining, it's all strip mining, so it's on top. And to gather that coal, they have cranes. But these cranes are massive. The tower where they have the controls is like a house. And the scoop shovel, they could probably put several of our vehicles in it. I mean, it's just massive, these cranes are. But guess what powers him? Huh? Well, men drive them. It's not gas, it's not diesel. They're electric powered. They're powered by electricity. And as massive as these things are, without any power connected to them, they can't do anything. But when they're connected to the power, wow, they fill up massive loads of coal. You see all the coal cars going through here coming from Wyoming, right? Yeah. Connected to the power, it's incredible what they can accomplish. But when they're not connected to the power, nothing happens. That's like us, folks. If we try to go through the Christian life without the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, we're like that crane. Hey, there's a lot of potential there, right? A lot of potential that is there, but it has to be connected to the power. And God wants to flow through us. But we can't do it on our own. We can't overcome sin. We can't minister. We can't witness effectively without the gift of His Spirit. Now, the unfortunate thing is that you can only experience the power of the Holy Spirit here at church. Sorry to tell you that. You know, you're not going to go with that, huh, Georgia? You know what? That's the awesome thing, is that you can be at work, you can be at home in the backyard, on the couch. You can even be taking a shower. I've even heard that some of you sing in the shower. But God's presence can come in wherever you're at and meet you there. Amen? And I guess I think that's what needs to happen on a day-to-day basis, is that we need those times where we connect with God and allow God's Spirit to come into us, to equip us and empower us. God says, I'm giving you a gift. It's like Christmas Sunday, right? Remember when you were a kid and you couldn't wait to open up that gift under the tree? God says, hey, I'm giving you a gift. It's the Holy Spirit. Awesome gift. It's not going to be one that you put on the shelf. It's going to be one that you use every day. And the Holy Spirit will be your helper, your teacher, and what? And convictor. I know some of you maybe even grew up in a faith tradition that they didn't talk much about the Holy Spirit. They may have even told you that some of the things weren't of God. When I was younger, I heard you turn on the radio station, and that was the case. A lot of that's changed, but even in those churches that proclaim that, they've changed their thoughts on it. But for some of you, maybe that still sticks in there. But God has given you His Spirit. Invite Him into your life. It's the gift. Amen? God told Zechariah He was to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem in the Old Testament. God says, you're not going to be able to accomplish by your might and by your power and your own strength, but it's by My Spirit, says the Lord, that you're going to be able to accomplish it. Spirit was even at work in the Old Testament, giving life. Father, this morning I pray Your hand upon Your people. As we leave this place this morning, we go out into a world that is desperate for You, that needs Your touch. And just even as I was listening to the news this morning with the terrorist attacks in London, and they were talking about just how some of these Islamic people have a hole in their heart, and there's something missing there. There's a vacancy there, and they're searching for something to fill it. And they were kind of thinking, well, we don't know what needs to fill it, but something needs to fill it. God, they need Your Spirit. They need that purpose that comes from You. Our world is desperate for God. It's not found in other religions. It's not found in other things. Materialism, the things of this world, it's found in You. God, You've given us that message. You've given us that hope. Peter says we need to share that hope with all that we that are willing to hear it. We share that hope. We share it, Lord, with the confidence that comes through the Holy Spirit. Father, go with us this week. Let us be light. Let us be salt in this world. Let your presence go with us. Let us radiate the presence of God. We give you the thanks and the praise, and we ask in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. God bless you this morning. And shake the hand of 2-3 people and say, be filled with the Holy Spirit, all right? This week. Happy faces today.